Tonight was the go-home show, the final SmackDown, before Money in the Bank tomorrow. Finally, actually two shows tomorrow. We have Worlds Collide in the afternoon, and we have Money in the Bank in the evening at the 7 o'clock Eastern start time for Money in the Bank. Both of them in Los Angeles. All of the men and all of the women in each of the Money in the Bank ladder matches were on the show tonight, which helped the show a lot because we had people from Raw and SmackDown populating the show tonight, which I think helped it because we had more hands on deck for tonight. I actually thought this was one of the better go-home shows they've done in a while. You know, sometimes these final shows, it's just like we got to get it over with, and they don't really do a whole lot to get you more excited for the PLE the next day. I can't say that this show did that for me either. I mean, the matches I was looking forward to, I'm still looking forward to them, and the ones that I really weren't, I can't say this show did a whole lot to get me any more excited for those matches, but it was one of the better go-home shows that they've done in a while. They did a little bit of a better job in trying to make the most of the 3 long hours that they have for these shows. It was also a very heel-heavy night because we had Seth Rollins, still no name for this new group. We'll call them the Goon Squad. Seth Rollins and his Goon Squad running around, laying out everybody in the Money in the Bank match, trying to take out each one of his opponents tomorrow night. And he did all but one. All but one. El Grande Americano. He was not on the show tonight, so he was spared. But Rollins and Reed and Breaker, they went around attacking people all night long, which you would think does not bode well for Seth Rollins' chances in Money in the Bank tomorrow. That's a good thing. But at the end of the show, we had John Cena and Logan Paul laying out Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso as well. And they were standing tall to close out the show. So a very heel-heavy night in that regard, which isn't always the most exciting thing. But considering who I had going over at Money in the Bank tomorrow, I feel pretty good now about my predictions going into this. The biggest thing of the night, honestly, may have been the announcement, which was a surprise, but a pleasant one. It was a welcome one, that we are, in fact, getting a King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring tournament this year. It didn't look like we were going to get them. They had their own sort of devoted show last year. And we know we have Night of Champions coming up at the end of the month, but there has been no mention or indication that they were doing King or Queen of the Ring this year. And we had the announcement tonight from Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce that, in fact, there will be tournaments this year. And they're going to commence starting next week. And they will build to the finals in Riyadh at the end of the month at the Night of Champions show. And the winners of King and Queen of the Ring, and this is the most important point, because otherwise it's just two tournaments with no teeth to them. The winners of these two tournaments will get a shot at the top title of their respective brand at SummerSlam, which of course is two nights this year. So I was very happy to hear that because that was something I was not expecting. And so, again, there'll be a mixing of the brands. It'll be a co-branded tournament. We'll talk more about that in the announcement that they made. We'll get into everything here on this show because this is your Friday Night SmackDown post-show. I am the Solemn Monster. It is Friday, June 6th, 2025. Thank you for joining me. Like and subscribe. I want to say thank you to everybody who helped get us to 87,000 subscribers. Yes, here on YouTube, the march continues as we make the march up higher and higher and higher each month. So thank you for 87K. If you are not subscribed, please go ahead and do so. But before we get into the SmackDown stuff, I do want to also give a plug. Give a little cheap plug. This is where I'll be tomorrow. I will not be here reviewing Money in the Bank tomorrow night. We're going to have to save that for the sound off on Sunday because tomorrow I will be at the NYC Arena over in Queens for Mike Santana's Puerto Rican Weekend, second annual Puerto Rican Weekend. And I will tell you that last year's Puerto Rican Weekend was a lot of fun. It was very energetic in the building. It was a packed house. And Santana decided to bring it back again this year. And he's going to be wrestling Ishii in the main event for the HOG World title. But there's a bunch of great matches on there. He's had a hell of a week. You know, Mike Santana was in the main event on NXT this week and still trying to win the TNA championship. But he'll be there in New York tomorrow. That's where I will be. So if you're wondering, hey, why is Solo not live for Money in the Bank, Duty Calls. And hey, if you're not watching Money in the Bank, still tickets available. Come on down. You can watch it on Triller TV. But if not, it'll be there for you after Money in the Bank is over. I will be going through all of that on the podcast later in the day on Sunday. So just be aware. I'm still going to get tons of messages. Where's Solo? Where's Solo? Did he fall asleep? But all I can do is remind you. The ones that are here, now you know. Let's talk about SmackDown, though. SmackDown opened with the top heel act on Raw. That's what we opened up with tonight. Seth Rollins, Bron Breakker, Bronson Reed, and Paul Heyman coming out to the ring. Rollins talked about having absolute power after he wins Money in the Bank tomorrow night. God forbid. Absolute power. That power does not just extend to Raw. That includes SmackDown as well. And anyone who stands in their way will suffer the same fate as those that have already stood in their way. And he cited Sami Zayn as one example. Sami Zayn stood in their way. He's in the dirt. They mentioned CM Punk. He stood in their way. Poof. He's gone. Roman Reigns stood in their way. And he is now missing an act. Well, he's been missing in action for months. Had nothing to do with Bron Breakker or Bronson Reed. Roman decided to take a vacation after WrestleMania, his annual post-WrestleMania vacation. But he said Roman Reigns is not coming to save you, which means that undoubtedly Roman Reigns is coming to save you. But he said Roman is not coming to save you. He doesn't care about you. He says he never has. But you know who has cared about you? Seth Rollins has cared about you. And he will drag all of us kicking and screaming if he has to into the future because that's what he does. Actually, you know what WWE did tonight? Just realized today is June 6th. They have dragged us kicking and screaming into yet another 3-hour Raw because tonight was supposed to be the night that SmackDown went back to 2 hours. Only SmackDown is not going back to 2 hours. SmackDown is going to be 3 hours indefinitely. We have all been dragged kicking and screaming. So that brought out the Timu bloodline to the ring. Solo Sikoa, JC Mateo, and Jacob Fatu, who got in the ring and stood eye to eye across from the other crew. And we had Bron Breakker and Jacob Fatu were standing directly across from one another, and they were eyeballing each other very intensely, as were Reed and Mateo. Solo said it looks like Seth has his own little bloodline going on. And he looked at Breakker and asked him, who are you supposed to be? Are you supposed to be the right-hand man? Jey Uso? He looked at Bronson Reed and asked, who are you supposed to be? Are you supposed to be the honorary Us? Sami Zayn? Yes, because they look so much alike. After everything they went through, you know, we teamed up at War Games, which is true. Bronson Reed did join them in War Games. And now you're paired up with this guy. Seth's got himself a wise man. And speaking of a wise man, he says, long time no see. So Rollins got up in his face. He told him to choose his next words carefully. Solo said all he knows is that tomorrow night he is climbing that ladder and grabbing that contract. And all of that power and control that Seth talks about, it's all going to be his. And Rollins asked if Solo is threatened by Bron Breakker. Is he threatened by Bronson Reed? Because he should be. But what he should really be worried about is that his own family would rather stab him in his back than have his back. So Rollins looked at Jacob and said, it looked like you wanted to say something, but Solo is the one with the mic. Solo said he knew what Seth was trying to do. And Rollins said instead of Samoan Werewolf, maybe his new nickname should be Solo's Bitch. See, he can't use that name, though. I've trademarked it. I've made more than a few people that in the past. So I'm sorry, Seth. He cannot use that. It's already taken. So Rollins said he may be a little threatened by one Fatu in the ring, but it wasn't Solo. Solo dropped his mic. He started to remove his jacket. Rollins removed his. Breakker and Reed, they stepped in front of Rollins. Fatu and Mateo, they stepped in front of Solo. Rollins and Fatu, they went face-to-face for a moment until Rollins called off the dogs, and they exited the ring. And at that point, now that the Bloodline had their backs turned, Jimmy Uso appeared in the ring behind them and hit Mateo, which sent Mateo into Fatu and sent Fatu out of the ring. Solo rolled outside. Jimmy super kicked Mateo, who joined the rest of his crew. And Jacob was not happy about being knocked out of the ring by JC Mateo. I'm not expecting anything between these two groups beyond some interaction in the ladder match tomorrow, inevitably between Seth Rollins and Solo Sikoa, because they're two of the six men in the ladder match. So, of course, they're going to interact. But I did love the little tease that we got here between Fatu and Breaker. Because at one point they were going nose to nose and it got a little tense. And this is not the first time that they have teased something, a possible confrontation here between these two. Many, many months ago, probably last year on Raw, we got something like this. And it was outside the ring. It was very brief. But I remember the crowd reaction that night. The crowd, even then. And these guys are more established now on the main roster than they were then. But even then, you could hear the crowd, their excitement. They wanted to see those two go at it. And they wanted to see them go at it now too. And one day they will. But like, you could just feel it. Like, the people know that at some point that's going to be a very big match. Whenever it happens, whether there's a title on the line or not, they know that that's going to be a very big match. So you just gotta be patient. One day we will get it. So that open led to Jimmy Uso one-on-one against JC Mateo after a break. They joined this already in progress. Solo Sikoa was outside with Jacob Fatu. They were watching the match. Solo was telling Jimmy, it's not too late for you to come back to the family. So they worked through another commercial. And then when they came back, Jimmy was rallying until Mateo clotheslined him and then landed a standing moonsault. Mateo hit a running elbow in the corner. Uso came back with a Samoan drop. So we got the reset. Uso came off the top with a whisper in the wind. Haven't seen him do that in a while. I would say call it three sheets to the wind. But he's been on his best behavior the last few years. I haven't heard of any reports. So we'll leave that one in the toolbox. Uso ran at Mateo, but Mateo caught him and hit a spinning back suplex for a near fall. Jimmy made a comeback. He went for, he went up to the top. Solo, though, jumped up on the apron. So now Jimmy and Jacob, not Jimmy Jacobs, but Jimmy and Jacob, they engaged in a little stare down here. Fatu was on the apron. Mateo comes charging in at Jimmy. Jimmy, though, moves, and Mateo collides with Fatu, which knocks Fatu off the apron. Jimmy then rolled up Mateo, and he picked up the win. And when the match was over, Fatu left. He walked off. And in the ring, JC Mateo was yelling. He was yelling at Fatu, and then he turned and he was yelling at Solo that Jacob was the problem. So not much of a match here between these two. It furthered the tension, which they're slowly building week by week, between Jacob Fatu and JC Mateo. And it got Jimmy a win, you know, at a time when, I mean, tell me what Jimmy Uso was really doing right now. He's a man on an island all by himself. He has no direction. He's not really involved in anything. I mean, Solo has been talking about, come on, you know, you got to bring you back into the family. But he really doesn't have anything going on of his own. He's just sort of meandering around. So they decided to give him a win, but it was a win that you know, fed into this story, at least, that's going on. So like JC Mateo losing, this was his first loss. But they've been feeding him wins, right? He came into this, I think, 3-0. And the only reason he lost was because of a distraction, and it's feeding into the larger story. So I had no issue with that. That was not a big deal. After this, in the back, we had Zelina. No last name on the nameplate on screen. Just Zelina is walking in the backstage area when she runs into Julia. And she tells Julia that, you're going to have to pry the United States Championship from my lifeless body. And, you know, if this was Julia in Stardom, she would be saying, that's not going to be a problem. we really haven't seen that version yet of Julia, but you got to be careful when you say that sort of thing around her. But you'll have to pry it from her cold, dead hands if you want to win that U.S. title. Julia said Zelina was confident, and she likes that. And then Zelina walked off, as in the background, you could see Julia watching her walk away. I swear to you, this felt like a cutscene from one of those 2K games. That's exactly what this was. And I don't mean that in a positive way. I'm not complimenting this. This felt like a cutscene from a video game. That's how just wooden this whole thing was. Elsewhere in the back, we had the other United States champion. Nothing wooden about this guy. Jacob Fatu, he ran into Damian Priest. Priest told Fatu that it's not easy working with family, is it? Said he's been where Fatu is right now. He doesn't envy that. He said at some point he's going to be coming for the U.S. title. And Fatu said, that's fine. And if you don't take care of business when we meet, you go to the back of the line like everybody else. And he walked off. We had Zelina Vega back with her full name. So I don't know why it just said Zelina on the graphic in the backstage segment. I was like, uh-oh. But she got her full name back here. She went against Piper Niven. I don't believe this was a title match, but she went up against Piper Niven in what they called a Bakersfield brawl because they were in Bakersfield, California. See, in case you couldn't tell, they were in Bakersfield, California tonight for the show. I have to say also about the crowd in Bakersfield, good crowd. Good crowd. There was a guy in the front row. I don't know how old he was. Maybe late teens. He could have been 20-ish. I don't know. He wasn't, he was pretty young. In the front row wearing a blue shirt. He was excited by everything on this show. To the point where I was wondering if he was planted there. I'm sure he wasn't, but there was nothing that didn't excite this kid on this show. But I will say this, we had Piper Niven and Zelina Vega out here. This Zelina Vega secret Hervis stuff, this just will not die. It just continues. Every single week, we get different permutations of it. Every single week, we go from Zelina against Chelsea to Zelina against Alba to Zelina against Piper, which I feel like I've seen a couple times before already. And then we'll get a handicap match. It'll be Zelina against Piper and Alba. Then it'll be Zelina and Julia against Chelsea and Piper. It'll be like every possible combination that you could think of just to milk this for all that it's worth. Vega grabbed a kendo stick from under the ring early in the match, and she was working Piper Niven over with it. And I'm not sure why, but then she threw the kendo stick outside the ring, and she went for a pin, and Niven immediately kicked out. And I just thought, boy, I bet you wish you didn't throw that stick out of the ring now, didn't you? Yeah, I didn't quite understand that. So the crowd wanted tables. Of course they did. Action spilled outside. Niven caught Vega and slammed her headfirst down on the apron. She followed up with a basement crossbody against the LED screen on the side of the ring. And then they went to commercial. This was all very exciting. But very exciting to the boy in the front row, I will say that. The show came back. Now we had a chain in the ring, like a small chain. And Piper used it to wrap it around Zelina's head. She had it like wrapped around her mouth. Niven set up a chair. She attempted to slam Zelina, but Vega turned it into a DDT onto the chair. So Niven rolled outside. Vega then went up. She hit a moonsault out onto everybody, including Chelsea and Alba, who were out there. Back inside, Vega went back to the top. Niven cut her off. And Vega fought back. She hit a super code red from the middle rope. Actually, from the top rope. Alba fired, though, on the pin attempt at the very last second. Pulls Zelina off of Piper. So now outside the ring, they're all pummeling and ganging up on Zelina. Piper actually still in the ring, and she's yelling out to Alba, get the tables! So off Alba goes to go fish a table out from under the ring. So her crew, they set up a table inside the ring, and now Vega is sprawled out on top of the table. Niven goes to the middle row. Meanwhile, they cut outside, And Chelsea is out there. Alba's out there. But now we see that Julia has appeared from out of nowhere. And Julia is standing on top of the barricade and leaps off. And I believe it was a double clothesline. And she took both members of the group down. Zelina got up off the table in the meantime, and she was trying to powerbomb Piper Niven from the middle rope through the table. And Piper is holding on, and Zelina, it's a tiny woman, and she's trying with all of her might, and Piper is just hanging on for dear life. Julia grabs the kendo stick. She gets up on the apron, and she whacks Piper across the back with it. Still nothing. So then she whacks Piper across the chest with it. And finally, Piper lets go, and she gets powerbombed through the table. And Zelina folds her up and pins her to pick up the win. So this was the usual PG WWE brawl that we've seen a million times. The big spot was the table spot there at the end. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, okay, well, I guess Julia's a babyface now. Because I think she was a heel before, right? Or the crowd anyway was taking to her as a heel. But I guess, okay, now she's a babyface, right? She gets in the ring, though, and she raises Zelina's hand, and then she attacks her. And she drops her with a Northern Lights bomb and poses over her with the U.S. title. That's more like it. That's more like it. I prefer Julia more as a heel now anyway. Even better, it hopefully means, who the hell knows, but I would hope that this means we are finally transitioning Zelina over to a new program with Julia and getting away from the Secret Harvest stuff, which I think they've gotten about as much mileage out of as they possibly can. We need to get Zelina away from them and into something new. And that's what this feud program, whatever, with Julia, that's what this is going to be. That's what I want to see. No more of this. We've seen this. Even Chelsea, and I like Chelsea Green. Time to move her on to something else. Now in the back, Cody Rhodes greeted Jey Uso, and they hugged. Cody asked Jey, "Are you good?" And Jey said, "I'm good." But he added that he was still a little banged up from what happened on Monday night. Jimmy entered the room. Brother Jimmy, Big Jim. He walked in, he asked Jey, "Are you straight?" And Jey said, "Well, I mean, I'm married with, a kid." Oh, he goes, yeah, I'm straight. Why do people keep asking me that? Why do people keep asking me that question? Jimmy said, "Look, you got a big match on Saturday. You got a title defense coming up on Monday." He just wants to make sure that he would yeet when it was time to yeet. The guy, all he does is yeet. I don't even know why you would bother asking that question. Every time we see him on TV, all he does is yeet. If he wasn't yeeting, I would think there was something wrong with him. I would take him to the doctor. So Jey said that we're going to see what John Cena and Logan Paul had to say later in the show, and he would worry about tomorrow. Okay. Wouldn't see him again until the end of the show. Yes. See, Sidro makes a good point. It's good timing with Pride Month. I mean, Jimmy's just making sure, you know? Nobody knows Jey better than Jimmy. He's just checking to make sure. So they aired an Aleister Black video promo. Black talked about how it doesn't sit well with him that Los Angeles night over here. Let's hope this weekend is Los Angeles night's weekend. They're in Los Angeles. It has to be a big weekend for this guy. He is not happy about the fact that LA Knight stole the pin during their Money in the Bank qualifying match after he wiped out Shinsuke Nakamura with a black mass kick, but then it was Knight who stole the pin and got the win. And if Knight beats him tonight, he would look him in the eyes, he would shake his hand, and he would admit defeat. Let's find out. Because right after this, we had LA Knight against Aleister Black. But first, before the match, Knight took the microphone. He was going to cut a promo. Said that it was Money in the Bank season. And he pointed out that this is the third straight year that he is in a Money in the Bank match. He asked the crowd if that meant third time's a charm, and they thought it did, but he's not satisfied with that. So he ran down the other participants in Money in the Bank one by one, named each of them, including Seth Rollins. He finished He climaxed with Seth Rollins, with whom Knight said, "I have not had a lot of interaction with this guy before." Rollins likes to burn things down, but Knight is the hottest thing in WWE. He cannot be burned. And tonight, he's got to deal with Aleister Black. So Black had a shot to be in this match, and Knight gets it because the briefcase is a big deal. But he didn't steal the win from him. He just won a match. Now Black is set to get his feelings hurt again, and tomorrow he can watch Knight climb the ladder and win the match. This went on probably longer than it had to be. What are you people talking about in the chat? His promo climaxed with him talking about Seth Rollins. That was the whole point of it, to get to Seth. And then cut a promo on Seth. What's wrong with you people? Look at these people. You people are sick. You know that? You people. I don't know what I'm going to do with you. Anyway, he said that he's gonna climb the ladder and win the match. That was the whole point of this. Before we could get to the actual start of the match, though, they went to another commercial because Aleister Black, the lights went out and he started to make his entrance. But we went to a fucking commercial before we could actually get the match. So they come back and the two lock up to begin the match. And I'm like, well, were they just standing there staring at each other for three? Is that what we're supposed to think? That these two were just standing there staring at each other intensely, waiting for three and a half minutes, whatever it was? Well, that's what they did. So the match begins. Black hit a series of strikes with a leg sweep. He went for a springboard move. Knight, though, charged, and both men went tumbling out over the top rope to the floor, and we tumbled into yet another commercial. Come back to the action. Black executes the springboard moonsault on Knight inside the ring. He went for a black mass. Knight ducked it, hit his jumping neck breaker. Then he hit that modified power slam that he does. Later on, Black went for a springboard moonsault again, but Knight caught him and hit a very safe-looking burning hammer. And Black rolled outside. He rolled to the floor just as Seth Rollins runs into the ring and he stomps LA Knight into the mat. And, of course, that led to the disqualification. Match got thrown out. Rollins set up for another stomp, but before he could hit it, he went to go charge in for the second stomp. Aleister Black gets back into the ring, and Rollins stops in his tracks. But here comes Bron Breakker. He spears Black. Bronson Reed enters. He lands a running senton on LA Knight. And then Bron Breakker spears LA Knight, leaving Rollins and his crew standing tall. This would not be the last time that I would be saying those words here during this show. I was not a fan of the finish, you know, the lame DQ. I understand why they did it, though. It protects Aleister Black from having to eat the pin here in this match, because we know LA Knight is in Money in the Bank tomorrow. Aleister Black is not. So it would make no sense to beat LA Knight going into Money in the Bank. But at least this way, Aleister Black is spared the loss, because they don't like beating people. This is how they get out of these situations. So I understand why they did it. The match itself was starting to get good there near the end until it was interrupted. I have a much better feeling about LA Knight winning, because I had him and Naomi as my picks to win Money in the Bank tomorrow, and I'm sticking with that. And I feel a lot better now than I did a few days ago about LA Knight's chances going into tomorrow night, when you think about what Rollins was doing all night. Because let's break this down here, right? You got six guys in Money in the Bank. You've got Seth Rollins, you've got LA Knight, Solo Sikoa, Andrade, Penta, and El Grande Americano. Penta is not winning Money in the Bank. El Grande Americano, I mean, I can't, you know what? I cannot sit here and tell you that they wouldn't have the balls to do it. He's not going to win Money in the Bank. Andrade ain't winning shit. So that's half the field gone. That leaves us with Seth, Knight, and Solo. I could see any of those three winning Money in the Bank. Solo is the one who has the least chance of those three. Solo Sikoa is not winning Money in the Bank. So realistically, it comes down to two people, right? It comes down to Seth Rollins, and it comes down to LA Knight. And I have been saying for the last couple of weeks, that of all the men in this Money in the Bank match, LA Knight is the one who needs this win the most. He is the one with the most to gain. He is the one with the most to lose if he does not win this match. And I don't think they would send him out there and point out the fact, draw attention to the fact, that this is his third straight year in this match. And he'll be a three-time loser if he doesn't win. 3 years in a row. Why would you draw attention to that unless this guy is finally going to go in there and win the big one? I don't understand. If he doesn't win tomorrow night now, then I don't understand why they would have him go out there and say what he said. Unless they're actively trying to bury this guy, which doesn't make any sense to me because they're not trying to actively bury him. So I feel better about his chances of winning this match. Of all the people in this match, he is the one with the most to lose here. Solo, if anybody else in this match loses, right, they lose nothing. They lose nothing because they either have something else going on that they'll, you know, some other story or feud, or there are guys in this match who you would expect to not win. So if they lose, it's like, well, I didn't expect them to win anyway. LA Knight is kind of in the middle here where, yeah, you might not expect him to win the way he's been booked lately, but if he doesn't, he's got nothing going on. He's got nothing. And it would be the third year in a row that he loses. Tell me how that makes sense. Now, I've also said that I think LA Knight desperately needs to be moved over to Monday Night Raw, and he does. Although I do recognize the problem that that presents, because there is a definite hole that needs to be filled on SmackDown right now when it comes to top talent and big names. I mean, think about who you have right now on that SmackDown roster, right? You've got Roman Reigns, who we never see. And I think he'll be back tomorrow, I do believe. But even when he's back, it's not like he's on the show that often, right? You rarely get to see Roman Reigns. John Cena, he's added some more appearances. He was on the show tonight. He's the champ. But even John Cena, he's on limited dates. You don't get to see John Cena very often. He's a special attraction. So then you look at the rest of the show. Drew McIntyre is supposedly taking time off. Kevin Owens is out indefinitely. We have no idea when we're going to see him again. Losing someone like LA Knight is not going to help SmackDown. It's going to hurt SmackDown, which is why I think this is the perfect time to have another transfer window. Sometime this summer, it doesn't have to be this month even, but at some point this summer, in the next month or two, I would institute another transfer window and let that run for a month, 4 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it is, and that way you can move the pieces around as you see fit, and you could sort of realign things when it comes to the roster. But one of the moves that needs to be made for his sake, maybe not SmackDown's sake, but for his sake, is to get him the hell off the show. I don't see a future for him on this show. I really don't. And the time is right. The time is now. I think it's a move that is going to benefit him. I can't sit here and tell you that moving him to Raw is going to change his fortunes and things are going to be so much better for him on Mondays. But I can tell you one thing. If he stays on this show, I mean, he's dead in the water. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me what you see him doing differently in the next 3 or 4 months, if he stays right where he is and doesn't win Money in the Bank. Where is LA Knight going to be in 3 months? What's he going to be doing? You honestly believe that he's going to be in the WWE title picture? He's already been bounced out of the US title picture. What else is there for him to do? That's why he needs to be moved. But other moves will then need to be made to make up for losing him. Because there's a lot of other names right now that they simply, you know, either don't have available or we don't get to see very often on this show, and that has to change. Now, if Gunther beats Jey Uso, because we have a big world heavyweight title match coming up on Raw this Monday night, if Gunther beats Jey Uso on Monday, I would have LA, well, for, I told you, I would have LA Knight win the briefcase. I would have LA Knight show up. I would have Gunther win and then have LA Knight show up and cash in Money in the Bank on Gunther. I know some people wouldn't be happy about, well, why would you do that? Why would you have the title change back to Gunther and just take it away from him? Because, you know what? It's okay to shake things up a little bit. That would be a nice little shakeup on the Raw brand. They get a new name in LA Knight. You get a new World Heavyweight Champion. And after what we saw on this show, and Rollins and his guys attacking Knight, now you can set up a proper program with them. That could even be the World Heavyweight Championship match at SummerSlam. And if they want to bounce the title over to Rollins at that point, you can do that and still keep them locked in a feud. So it would be better than what he has going on Fridays. At least he would be a player. He would be in the mix on that show. And it would shake things up in a way that I think would make things a little more interesting. So, but it also ties into, kind of, an announcement that we got here in the very next segment. Because after this, it was to the back for what they said was a special joint announcement from Raw GM Adam Pearce and SmackDown GM Nick Aldis, announcing the return of the King and Queen of the Ring tournament. I didn't think we were getting those this year. Next week, the tournaments kick off with four fatal four-way matches in the men's and women's divisions, with the winners advancing to the next round. From there, it becomes a co-branded singles competition with the semifinals and the finals. And the finals, only the finals, will be taking place at Night of Champions in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, which I believe is on Saturday, June 28th. I believe that is the date of that show. And the winners of those two tournaments will get to challenge for the top title of their respective brand at SummerSlam. I like it. That's the way it should always be. And remember, King of the Ring used to be in June. That was always a June pay-per-view. And it wasn't always the case where the winner of the King of the Ring would get a world championship match. But I always love that caveat. I always love that stipulation. And they did it last year, right? They did it with Nia Jax. She went on to SummerSlam. Gunther won King of the Ring. He went on to SummerSlam. They both won world championships on that show. So I like that you have King of the Ring a month later now than they did it last year. And the winners get title matches at SummerSlam. I feel like that's the way it should always be. But then that begs the question, who do you have win? I will also point out to you, you know, they said we're going to have a series of fatal four-way matches. Triple H, boy, he loves these multi-person matches, right? We just had qualifying matches for Money in the Bank. All of these Money in the Bank triple threat qualifiers. So now we're going to have a bunch of fatal four-way qualifiers for the King of the Ring and the Queen of the Ring. And I think the reason that they do that, and then maybe they're just trying to get as many people on these shows as possible. But I think what they've done here is, in their mind, they have figured out a way to protect certain people from taking losses, because they're so petrified about beating people and having them lose clean in matches that you could have these multi-person matches so you can always make sure there's at least one person in that match who probably loses more than they win. And so it's a safe route. Oh, we'll have that person take the loss because we don't want to pin this guy and we don't want to pin her and beat her. So we'll put this person in. We'll put Natty in there. We'll put Maxine Dupri in there. We'll put Carmelo Hayes in there. And we'll let them take the losing fall. And it's just such a cop-out way of doing. Like, there are certain people I can understand that you might want to protect, because maybe they've been unbeaten, or maybe you just don't want them losing very often. But, like, there are times where you just, it's okay for people to lose. Like, it's not going to be the end of the world. I know you have all the idiots online where you lose one fucking match. Oh, they're buried. Like, forget those people, okay? They're working off one brain cell. Like, it's okay to beat people. It's not the end of the world. It all comes down to the booking. As long as you, if you want to push somebody, as long as you have the creative to support them and you have a plan for them, if they lose a match, their career isn't over. But I feel like that's why we get so many of these triple threats and fatal four ways. Like, invariably, that's what ends up happening. Like, you know, the odd person out is the one who's in there to take the losing fall. We saw that recently with Nakamura, right? They talked about it here in the promos earlier, where it was Aleister Black, LA Knight, and Shinsuke Nakamura. And from the moment that match was announced, you and I both knew exactly who was taking the losing fall in that match. Because, God forbid, you know, we do LA Knight against Aleister Black. Because then somebody has to lose, and that's the end of the world if that happens. So now we're going to get a bunch of fatal four-way matches. Yeah, Finn Balor. Finn Balor actually won a match on Monday. Very rare. But I'm seeing what they're doing here. with this stuff. As far as the winners getting title shots at SummerSlam, what does that mean for the men's Money in the Bank? Well, or not Money in the Bank, I'm sorry, men's King of the Ring. I don't even know who's going to be in King of the Ring, so just I put that out there before I tell you who I think might win. Without knowing yet who's going to be in it, I don't think Seth Rollins is winning Money in the Bank, but I do think he becomes the automatic favorite to win King of the Ring. We get King Seth. That guarantees Rollins a World Heavyweight Championship match at SummerSlam. He would be my early favorite to win King of the Ring. On the women's side, my early favorite to become Queen of the Ring, Stephanie Vaquer. That's how I see it playing out. But again, I don't know who's even in the tournaments yet. I'm just giving you my early predictions for who I think may walk away with the crowns. But I'm very happy they're bringing them back. I really thought they were just going to ditch them this year, but I'm happy that that's not the case. Now in the back, Byron Saxton. It's definitely not going to be King Cross, says Bret Hart. Really, what gave it away? Was it the booking? Yeah, I think we could all agree we're not looking at King Karrion Kross this year getting a World Heavyweight Championship match at SummerSlam. That ain't going to happen. But the reason I'm going with Rollins and not someone like CM Punk, for example, because I know some people might be like, well, Punk, and then we get Punk and Cena. The key here is that the winners get a shot at the champion on their respective brand. Punk and Cena are not on the same brand. I'm pretty sure Cena, now maybe Cena's a free agent. I don't know. How is he classified on WWE.com in the roster section? If somebody can check real quick. I think Cena is listed on the SmackDown side, but he's got the SmackDown title. So it doesn't matter whether he's a free agent or not. He's got the SmackDown belt. And they made it very clear that the winner is locked into challenging the top champion on their brand. So I don't think that would work. Otherwise, I would have considered Punk for the spot. But I'm thinking it's going to be Rollins. Byron Saxton was interviewed in the back, or interviewed. Jade Cargill. Yeah, Byron Saxton was not interviewed. He has nothing interesting to say. But he interviewed Jade Cargill. And he said, you know, you're going to be competing in Queen of the Ring. So I guess we know Jade is going to be in. She says she can't wait to tear through the tournament. Saxton asked about Bianca Belair. And before Jade had a chance to respond, Charlotte Flair interrupted. She told Jade there's only one queen in WWE. So there's your Evolution match. There it is right there. Tiffany Stratton wandered on by and she chuckled as she started her march to the ring for the next segment. But before we got there, elsewhere in the back, we had American Maid being interviewed. Chad Gable is going to be wrestling El Hijo del Vikingo tomorrow at Worlds Collide in the main event for the AAA Mega Championship. And Gable says that if he beats Vikingo, he will have won the most prestigious title in all of Lucha Libre. Andrade wandered on over and he was laughing at the idea. He started speaking some Spanish to Gable. Penta shows up, big pop. He joins in the Spanish. She's also making fun of Gable. So Gable is offended. Everybody is yelling now. Nick Aldis comes over to try to calm down the situation. And we get the announcement of a tag team match later in the show where it is going to be Andrade and Penta teaming up to take on the Creed brothers. You know, it was not lost on me that the last time the Creed brothers wrestled on a go-home show, Rey Mysterio got hurt. And he was out of WrestleMania, so I had my fingers crossed going into this. It's always risky when you do this. When you put these people that are in a big match on the PLE the night before in a match. I mean, I know you can't just bench everybody. You got 3 fucking hours to fill here, but I'm always like, man, you know, some good energy. Sending some good vibes. Hopefully nobody gets hurt. Tiffany Stratton was out to the ring. Said that everybody on Saturday is going to try to pull a Tiffy from last year and reach for the stars. She said that every woman tomorrow is championship material, but whoever wins the briefcase will have their world revolve around her. Rhea Ripley comes out. Of course, she gets the usual big reaction. She took exception with Tiffany's words. She reminds us that she's never been in Money in the Bank before because she never had to be. So she doesn't know what it's like to win the briefcase, but she's very familiar with what it's like to be a champion. And she misses that feeling. So that brings out Stephanie Vicaire. And then Alexa Bliss comes out. And now it's pretty clear we're getting the entrances for the six-woman tag team match that they had advertised, which involved all six women in tomorrow's Money in the Bank match. It was Rhea Ripley, Stephanie Vicaire, and Alexa Bliss taking on Naomi, Roxanne Perez, and Julia after the commercial break. Vicaire set up early for the Devil's Kiss, and everybody was very excited about this Devil's Kiss until Julia countered out of it, and then they weren't so happy at that point. Julia planted her with a curb stomp. Naomi tagged in, went for a Devil's Kiss of her own on Stephanie. Stephanie, though, worked out of it. Things broke down. All six women are brawling. Stephanie finally did the Devil's Kiss on Naomi. Later on, Roxanne Perez, she threw Alexa Bliss into the ring steps. And the show came back with from a break with Naomi working over Alexa. Naomi charged at her. She ended up going face first into the turnbuckle. Bliss DDT'd her and got the hot tag to Rhea. And Roxanne also tagged in. Ripley hit a fallaway slam and took out the rest of the field. She hit a razor's edge on Roxanne. Naomi broke up a pin attempt. The match broke down. Alexa Bliss hit Sister Abigail on Julia. Ripley then tried Riptide on Perez. Perez countered into a beautiful spike DDT. And everybody was down. I will say this. There is not anybody on that roster who sells a DDT better than Rhea Ripley. Every fucking time I see this woman take that move, she spikes herself on top of her head, the way she pops up out of it and looks dazed and confused. Like, she sells it better than anybody else on that entire roster, male or female. Like, a simple DDT. Doesn't have to be anything fancy, but I just love the way she sells that move. Perez then tried to tag out to Naomi. As she went over, though, Naomi drops down off the apron. She pulled a Sid on Roxanne. She left Roxanne to die all alone in the ring with all three baby faces. And they ganged up on her until Ripley hit Riptide and pinned her to win the match. This was the kind of the de facto match of the night. It's a very good match, but it was easily the best match on the entire show. And it was a fun little preview of tomorrow's Money in the Bank match, which is the most loaded out of both ladder matches tomorrow. It is the most stacked of the two Money in the Bank matches. You look at the talent just in this one match. I mean, this is only six of the women they have on the roster, but you know that women's division, collectively, I'm talking cross-brand, is very much in good hands. I'm still sticking with Naomi for the win. I do feel rock, and not just because she lost tonight. I think I said this on Monday. Roxanne Perez, she would be my dark horse or backup pick if I had to pick a number two. I think Naomi wins, but if she doesn't, I think Roxanne may take it. I don't feel like Rhea Ripley's winning. Stephanie, I don't think, is winning. Julie is not winning. So that leaves Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss could. If I had to rank them in order of likelihood, I'm going Naomi, Roxanne, and Alexa in that order, as far as who I think wins Money in the Bank. Solo Sikoa was in the back talking to JC Mateo. Jacob Fatu was nowhere to be seen. Mateo asked Solo if he trusted Jacob, and Solo said that as long as Fatu follows his lead, everything's going to be okay. He said Fatu loves him, and Fatu isn't all that smart in the head. He said all Fatu thinks about is himself, and he's all gas and no brains. And he said he has it all under control. And sure enough, as soon as they walked away, we see Jacob Fatu was standing right around the corner. He heard every word that Solo Sikoa just said. And that does not seem to bode well for Solo Sikoa's chances in Money in the Bank tomorrow night. Not that his chances were all that great to begin with, but they're even worse now than they were before. I like that line too. All gas and no brains. That was pretty good. He's going to get the shit kicked out of him. It's going to be great. So they do their usual Signs of the Night segment. They show different signs in the crowd. I mean, these are not quite Attitude Era signs, but, you know, people bring signs. Not like they used to, but they focus this. Anyway, they're showing various signs. And all of a sudden, they just abruptly cut away. And we end up with one of these VHS-style Wyatt Six videos. And this is Bo Dallas. Not Uncle Howdy, it's just Bo Dallas. He said, grief is not linear and is not healed by time. He said, it's a festering wound that has continuously been ripped open by the echoing of a presence that is no more. He said, you don't forget. You can just accept that which cannot be changed. He said he's watched the tag team division. Spoke about the loyalty, the trust, and the brotherhood. And he questioned if it was unbreakable. He said that from their loss, referring to the Wyatt Six, from their loss, they have become a family. And yet they wanted to forget them again. He said, your brotherhood will be tested and the time for repentance has passed. Accept your condemnation, we will not be forgotten. You know, the eerie thing about this segment is when he was initially in the beginning of the promo, he's talking about grief and, you know, it's pretty clear he was referring to his brother. They had little flashes of Bray Wyatt. Now, he already looks like his brother. It's very eerie, but they had actual flashes of Bray Wyatt where they like spliced in his image or his likeness, which was kind of jarring because they already look very much alike. But outside of that, I mean, again, not a whole lot here in this segment. As far as why the tag team division, right, that was one of the questions. Why are the Wyatt Six going after tag teams on SmackDown all of a sudden? And he didn't really directly address it other than to say, you know, we are a brotherhood. And I guess they're looking at other groups. I mean, not necessarily factions, but in this case, tag teams. And I guess testing their loyalty to one another. I guess that's the story they're going with. And so that's the reason why they're going after tag teams. So, I mean, at least we had some attempt at an explanation. They could have given us nothing. This was all we got tonight as far as the Wyatt Six. Again, there's not a lot there right now. And I'm willing to give it time because they just came back. But all that time off, and I know it may have been injury related, but all that time off and not even attempting to have the other members continue on television to further establish their characters. And it just, I think that was a mistake. And it's just been death trying to get into, you know, what they're doing here. Because it's just, it feels so slow. And you just want it to get to whatever the next thing is that they're going to do. And I just feel like we're in this weird rinse-repeat mode where even though they're going after tag teams now, this still feels very much like what they were doing 9 months ago. So that huge gap in the middle where they just weren't around at all, I think really stifled their momentum because they literally were not around. They didn't even attempt to do anything with the other members. They just benched everybody until, and I think it might have been Bo Dallas, but whoever was hurt, until that person was ready to come back. And I think that was a mistake. It feels like we're starting from scratch now, but the excitement that was there at the very beginning when they massacred everybody on Raw and they were trying something different, like, that's gone now. So they're here. They're like a known entity. People know who they are. There's all that kind of wondering, what is this? What is this going to be? Oh my God, why are they here? Like, that's in the past now. So now it comes down to the booking and really how they're utilized. How are these characters going to be portrayed on television? Are they going to speak? Is it just going to be Bo Dallas, you know, dropping videos like this? Are we ever going to hear from the other members? Are we going to see them do singles? But like, we don't know. I just don't find this interesting enough to want to stick around and find out. But we'll see. Still have people wondering if Alexa Bliss is going to be connected to this in some way. Right now, she doesn't have to be. She's doing her own thing. And we'll see where the stuff goes with her and Charlotte. I think there's more potential in that, frankly, than her just going back and doing Wyatt stuff. But you know, maybe she'll end up with them. Maybe she won't. I don't know. She's still going around with the doll. I mean, anything's possible. But, you know, whatever excitement was there at the beginning is gone. And now it's all stripped away. And it's like, okay, now it comes down to story. And can you make this interesting? You know, can you do something compelling with this group that will get me as a fan interested in wanting to see them on my television every single week? Right now, the answer to that is no. But it doesn't mean that they can't try to pull something out of this, you know, because they have some talented people who were involved here. Like a Dexter Lumis, Eric Rowan, like, let's get them on TV doing stuff. I don't understand the desire to just drag it out and beat this horse over and over again. Like, you got five fucking people here. Let's start doing something with them instead of just speaking in riddles. So when this video ended, they go backstage and Nick Aldis is standing by with the Street Profits and Fraxium. It's their finishing move. They send a fax to their opponent. Fraxium, Motor City Machine Guns, and DIY. They were all watching the video. The entire tag team division, minus Pretty Deadly, are in the back. Tommaso Ciampa says he and Johnny Gargano shouldn't take the fall for this because the other teams were the ones who also provoked the Wyatts. Montez Ford says he knows they're all afraid, which is such a geek line. I know we're all afraid here of the Wyatts. He knows they're all afraid, but they need Fraxium and the Guns and DIY because they can't do things on their own, right? Basically, you got to band together. If we're going to take these guys down, you got to band together here. Angelo Dawkins talked about how he and Montez were the real boogeymen. He said if the Wyatts want the smoke, then they can get it. Axiom spoke about how he and Nathan Frazier would teach the Wyatts a lesson. DIY was all for this. They liked that idea. Chris Sabin said he and Alex Shelley are the veterans here, and they want to get their hands on the Wyatts as well. And DIY was all for that, too. Gargano told Nick Aldis that any of the other three teams, they would be perfect as opponents for the Wyatts. We had Penta and Andrade. Why are they afraid of the Wyatts, says Kevin Lee. That's a great question. I was asking myself the same question. And by the way, anybody who is I know some people aren't having any issues. If anybody's having any audio issues, just refresh. I think it's a YouTube thing. Everything's fine on my end, so it may just be a YouTube thing. YouTube is just being stupid sometimes. Just hit refresh and let me know, but it should be fine. Penta and Andrade against the Creed brothers. They showed Vikingo in the crowd. He was in the front row smiling with his AAA Mega Championship ahead of Worlds Collide tomorrow. Penta and Andrade, they jump-started the match. They immediately hit dives out onto both members of the Creeds outside the ring. After a break, Andrade was getting worked over by the Creeds until he hit an enziguri on Julius, and then he tagged in Penta. With the referee distracted, Chad Gable was out there. So Chad Gable hops up on the apron. He tries to take Penta's mask off, and Vikingo has seen enough. So Vikingo jumps the barricade. He runs over to stop him. He starts working Gable over with punches. They fought off into the crowd. You know, it is wild. It is wild to see Vikingo on SmackDown. Like, if you would have told me that, like, at the beginning of the year, I don't play bingo, but if I did, this would not have been on my bingo card that I would see Vikingo on SmackDown. But here he is. Now, back in the ring, Penta finished off Julius Creed with a Mexican Destroyer off the middle rope, and he picked up the win for his team. This was fun, and the crowd was super into Penta. They were also behind Andrade, but you know what? It didn't hurt having Penta as a tag team partner. But this was a fun match. When it was over, we heard Seth Rollins' music yet again, and the Heyman Alliance, or the Goon Squad, as it were, they made their way down to the ring. They surrounded the ring and a brawl broke out with Bron Breakker and Seth Rollins and Bronson Reed and Penta and Andrade. The heels got the better of it. Breakker speared Andrade. Reed hit a running senton on Penta. Rollins then stomped both men. Reed went to the top. He landed a tsunami splash on Penta. Officials ran out to help, and they cut to commercial. So the takeover, the NWO light takeover here continues on this show. And Rollins, the story here all throughout the night is that Seth Rollins is trying to take out one by one all of his adversaries in the Money in the Bank match tomorrow. All except one. Because a certain masked luchador did not appear on the show tonight. He will be in Money in the Bank tomorrow, but he was not there on the show tonight. Never got his hands on that guy. That guy's going into that match fresh. Or actually, he's not going into that match fresh. He's going to have a match on the other show. And then he's going to have to run over from the Kia Forum all the way over to the Intuit Dome. Hey, all my LA peeps out there, what is the distance between the Kia Forum and the Intuit Dome? There's a few people tomorrow that are going to have to pull double duty and make their way from one building to the other. How long of a trip is that going to be? But you know, if CM Punk is not getting involved in Money in the Bank tomorrow, and I don't know why he wouldn't, but if he's not going to be getting involved in that match, we know Roman Reigns definitely is, right? I mean, they pretty much foreshadowed that on the show tonight, or maybe they both will, but it's time. It's time for Roman's vacation to be over and for him to be back on the show. You cannot have Seth Rollins come out here tonight talking about Roman and talking smack about this guy. You can't have him coming out and doing that and basically calling him out and then not have Roman Reigns show up to answer for it. I mean, that just wouldn't make any sense. So the time is right. And I would expect that when Rollins is just fingertips away from pulling down that briefcase, that's when we see Roman and or CM Punk come to screw him over and screw him out of it. That will pave the way for LA Knight to do what he did in the qualifying match with Aleister Black and Nakamura and steal the win. I don't care how he does it. As long as we don't see Seth Rollins win, because they just made it so obvious tonight that if he actually goes on to win Money in the Bank tomorrow now, I mean, that would be awful. I mean, for everything we saw him do tonight and then he ends up going and winning, like how fucking lame would that be? So the show came back. Rollins and his crew, they were still in the ring along with Paul Heyman. And Heyman called everybody in Bakersfield Baker's bitches. He said that his group doesn't fear the future because they are the future. And he didn't understand why anybody would boo that. Heyman said Rollins already told everybody everything that would happen. Everything that he has said would happen has happened. Said that the crowd, he asked the crowd if they understand that they are the vanguards of the destiny of WWE. I wouldn't be putting that on a t-shirt. Luis says walking is 22 minutes between the Kia Forum and the Intuit Dome. Well, that's good. That's good. Gable will get in some light cardio then as he goes from one show to the other. Eminem says, I could see Roman returning on the Raw after Money in the Bank. I don't know, man. Somebody has to factor into things to cost Seth Rollins a win here. Someone's got to be there to knock him off that ladder. It could be Punk, and then you could have Roman show up on Monday. You could do that. But it's got to be one of those two, though. But yeah, this whole vanguards of the destiny of WWE, like, dude, don't overcomplicate this. Don't try to sound smarter than you are, okay? You're not putting that on a t-shirt anytime soon. Heyman said at Money in the Bank, Rollins will become Mr. Money in the Bank yet again. And after that, whenever Rollins damn well feels like it, he will propel the entire industry into a vision all of his own. Heyman said the greatest honor of his professional life will be calling Rollins the reigning, defending. And before he could finish, Cody's music hits and cuts him off. And before anything comes of Cody getting into the ring, before anybody could say a word, Jey Uso's music hits. And he enters through the crowd and he yeets with everybody. Rollins did. He did go over. I don't know if you noticed this, but Seth Rollins went over to Cody and he whispered something in his ear, like The Rock did that time. But we couldn't hear what he said. And after that, Rollins and his crew, they disappeared. They said, you know what? I can't stand this yeeting shit anymore. I've heard enough. We're leaving. And they left. And we didn't hear from them again after this. That's all it took to get rid of these people on the show. Just start Jey Uso's music and have the crowd yeet. And that was it. Rollins and them, they like a plume of smoke behind them, like a cartoon. They got into their car and they bailed. We didn't see them again. So that took us into the final commercial break. When they came back, Cody and Jey were in the ring for the closing segment of the show. Cody mentioned that John Cena... he mentioned John Cena. And as soon as he did, the crowd began to chant, "Let's go, Cena. Cena sucks." So we had the dueling chants. Cody mentioned how seeing Cena stand next to Logan Paul is like seeing Michael Hayes standing next to the Hardy Boys. And he may have thought that was a clever line, except nobody reacted to it. It just basically died. I think he probably thought it was pretty clever what he came up with it, but yeah, no, it didn't work. So Jey took the microphone, and I mean, you talk about promos that will go down in the annals of history from some of the greatest world champions that we have ever seen. I don't know. I was taken aback, frankly, by just how amazing this promo was. Here on the eve of Money in the Bank, what would this man have to say about his opponents? He's going into combat tomorrow against John Cena and Logan Paul, but he's going in there against John Cena, right? Probably the last time he'll ever be in the ring with John Cena at this point. And so Jey Uso gets the microphone and he had nothing to say other than one word, four letters, yeet. That was his promo. Very good. So that brought out John Cena wearing Lakers colors with his gear. I thought he was supposed to be a heel. Why is he coming out dressed in Lakers color? I guess they weren't in LA tonight. They were in Bakersfield. But he had a white shirt. He had a purple and gold hat. And he had ring announcer Kevin Nash. Mark Nash. Oh, I knew I shouldn't have filled this mug up too much. Can you imagine that? What kind of ring announcer would Kevin Nash be, huh? He wouldn't be quite as excited as Mark Nash is. I mean, he really gets into every announcement that he makes, man. He's super energetic. So Cena had Mark Nash do a special ring intro for him. And as he did, as he was doing this and wrapped up the announcement, Logan Paul slid into the ring. He knocked out Jey Uso. He knocked out Jey Uso with a right hand. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Imagine you go to the mall with your kids, but you've got to use the restroom, right? We've all been there before. You gotta use the bathroom. So you go searching for it. But you grab the first person who walks by and you ask them, "Can you watch my kids for me? I gotta go take a leak." Right? You would never, ever do that. At least I hope you would never do that. Now, sure, that person likely won't turn out to be an axe murderer, but we've all heard of stranger danger, right? You wouldn't ever leave your kids in the hands of someone you don't know or trust. That would be the equivalent of going online without ExpressVPN. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network, which could be almost any public network outside your home, any hacker on that same network can gain access to and steal your personal data. That includes your passwords, that includes your credit card details, that includes your bank logins. Even a teenager could do it. It doesn't take a lot of know-how to make your life a living hell. And your data is valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling your personal info on the dark web. ExpressVPN stops hackers from stealing your data by creating a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. Now, what I love about ExpressVPN is that it's fast and it's easy to use. And it works on all my devices, not only my laptop, but my phone and my tablet, which I take everywhere with me when I'm on the road. They even offer an optional dedicated IP service engineered with innovative zero-knowledge design, meaning not even ExpressVPN can trace an IP address back to you. There's a reason ExpressVPN is rated number one by top tech reviewers like CNET and The Verge. I've been traveling quite a bit for House of Glory this year, and I'll be headed to Texas next month. And you can bet your ass I'll be keeping the ExpressVPN app open on my phone while I'm away from home, because my personal data is mine. It's not intended to be seen by anybody else. That's how it's supposed to be. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/solomonster. That's expressvpn.com/solomonster to find out how you can get up to 4 extra months free. expressvpn.com/solomonster. Cena blasted Cody with the belt, and then Cena delivered an attitude adjustment to Jey Uso. Logan Paul dropped Cody with his pulverizer finish. Logan went up top, briefly slipped, but he regained his balance, and he landed a frog splash to Cody. Then he went to the other corner, and he hit a frog splash on Jey Uso. And now it was time, finally, to hear from the WWE champion. And Cena said that now it was, no one is coming, rather. No one is coming to save us. He's been telling us for half a year now. We just haven't been paying attention. Our dream of what the WWE will be is ruined. This is our future. He says, he takes the title home. Logan takes the world title to the top. And Cena, of course, will retain his championship. Logan held up Jay's title at this point. Cena held up his championship. Cena said, the one of one, the inevitable future face of WWE, the future world heavyweight champion, Logan Paul. Cena put Cody back into the ring, and then he dropped him with an attitude adjustment. Then Logan threw Jay back into the ring, and he punched him out for a second time. Then we got loud chants of, we want truth. We didn't hear this all night long, but they waited for the closing segment here, and it was very audible. It was actually more audible and louder than it was on Raw Monday night, because we got some chants for truth on Monday. But the crowd starts to chant, we want truth. Cena gets on the mic, and he screams, you can't handle the truth. And I have to admit, that was fucking great. That was a great fucking line. And not only that, but it was actually a callback, if you remember, to the WrestleMania 21 parody. They did all those Hollywood parodies heading into WrestleMania that year, funny enough, which was in LA. And the one that he did for A Few Good Men with JBL, where they replicated that scene. And I have no idea if that was the idea behind doing it here. I'm not saying one had anything to do with the other, or he intended it that way. But that was a great clapback. Now, he had to know that there was a pretty good chance that he was going to get some of those chants. I mean, this is the first time he's been on TV since Truth, the news came out that R-Truth was not being renewed and was trending on social media for days. So I would imagine that he was expecting it. I don't know how spontaneous it was, but whether it was spontaneous or pre-planned, it was a great fucking line. He said, you want our truth? Our truth is staring you right in the damn face, and no one can do anything about it. You hypocrites chant for truth. You are all pathetic liars. Take a good look, because it's the last time that I'm going to be here in Bakersfield. And remember these words, winners write the history books, your future champion and the last real champion. And the two of them posed with both belts to end the show, and they had a hard out right there at 11 p.m. And that was the go-home episode of SmackDown. As John Cena segments go, this was one of the better ones, even though this heel turn is, it just still leaves a lot to be desired. I don't think it's very good. But they got heat on the babyfaces ahead of tomorrow. They left Cody Rhodes laying. They left Jey Uso laying. It makes sense, because if Cody and Jey are going to pull out the win tomorrow, right, you leave them here the night before. You leave all the fans, all the little yeet Yeeters out there who love Jey Uso and all the people that love Cody Rhodes. Oh my God, my heroes were left laying at the end of the show. What's going to happen tomorrow? They got laid out. They got knocked out. They got attitude adjusted. And then tomorrow they come back and they pick up the win, which is exactly what I think is going to happen. And I think Logan Paul is taking the losing fall in that match. Did it get me more excited to see their tag team match tomorrow? No. If I said yes, I would be lying to you. And you know I would never lie. I would never do that. So no, it didn't get me more excited to see the match tomorrow. And the card is not very big to begin with. They didn't add any matches. So this Money in the Bank show tomorrow is four matches. It's the two Money in the Bank matches. It's the John Cena match. And it's Becky Lynch against Lyra Valkyria for the Intercontinental title. That's it. So of all the remaining matches on the show, the two women's matches, I think, are going to be excellent. The men's Money in the Bank ladder match, this is probably the weakest field. I don't want to say ever, but if not ever in many years, this just feels like the weakest field that they have had in some time for a Money in the Bank match. Doesn't mean it's going to be a bad match. I'm more excited for the women's match, looking at the lineup that they have put together there. There's more star power. You know, as far as that division goes, there's more star power, and the talent there is just, it's off the charts. So four matches, and I'm sure three of the four at least. I mean, if not all four, three of the four, I think, are guaranteed to be very good. In the Cena match, you got Cena and Jey Uso, and I mean, you never really know what you're going to get. But you should have a lot of heat, especially with Logan Paul in there. So I'm sure, you know, the fans will be loud for it. I can't sit here and tell you it's going to be a great match, but maybe it will be. I don't know. If John Cena is going to go in there and have a great match, it probably would be better for him to be in a tag team situation. So I don't think it's a stretch to think that the match we get tomorrow with those four guys is probably going to end up being better than the WrestleMania match that we had between Cody Rhodes and John Cena one-on-one. I don't know if it'll be better than Cena and Randy Orton. But that's it. It's a four-match card. It's very simple, and I do wonder if they're keeping it really short because there is a UFC pay-per-view, I believe, tomorrow night. I think we have Worlds Collide, Money in the Bank, and a UFC show. And I think they're going to want the WWE show to be over before the UFC show. Maybe that's part of it. And they're going to give the ladder matches a lot of time. Still, though, I mean, four matches. It's got to be the shortest Money in the Bank card they've ever put together. Has to be. Take a look at the Twitter poll. What'd you think of SmackDown here before Money in the Bank? 78% thumbs up for tonight's go-home show. 22% thumbs down. It was one of the better go-home editions that they have done. But that is where you can vote, at SolomonStr on X. You guys know the drill. Well, my super chats are not here. Oh, there they are. There they are. They were hiding out on me. The Wyatt Six kidnapped them, but now they're back. I'm staring into a black hole. I'm like, where'd they go? Oh, let's scroll back. And thank you to all my new subscribers. I know we picked up a few here during the stream tonight. So far, well, 87,000 here on YouTube. I thank you all. Let's take it all the way back to the beginning, and let's take it all the way back to our friend Death Scythe. Death Scythe with a $50 super chat from earlier tonight before I even went live. That's crazy. We're also at 346 likes, which is not enough for Be the Bookers, so gonna have to get those likes up. I predict Randy Orton hits Cody with an RKO at Money in the Bank as the reason blames his loss, I guess is what he's saying, in St. Louis, combined with Cena trying to leave with the WWE title in December, and when Cody returned, instead of challenging and trying to save the championship, he chose a nothing tag team match. Well, that was very dumb. I mean, I even made the same comment. You know, we didn't see Cody at all. Not even a promo, nothing. He just vanished after WrestleMania. And then we finally see him back, and he issues a challenge to John Cena, but he issues a challenge to a tag team match. Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense now, does it? But he's thinking Randy Orton is going to get involved in that match and cost Cody. Which I guess, okay, so that would what? Set up Cody and Randy for maybe SummerSlam? Well, I mean, if they were going to go with Cena and Punk, I mean, that would make sense. But now that we know the winner of the King of the Ring is going to be challenging for the WWE Championship, I don't know about Cena Punk being a SummerSlam match. Maybe that's Saturday night's main event match on that show where the Goldberg retirement match is probably going to be taking place. Are they going to do Cena and Punk maybe on that show? I think Cena and Punk is a big enough match that you do it at SummerSlam. But if they did, you could have a double main event of Cody against Randy and Cena defending against Punk. I mean, I'd be fine with that. I don't know the likelihood of that happening. The Real CS says, while I want Naomi to win Money in the Bank, my heart is telling me Rhea Ripley. One of three reasons why I think she will win is because you know WWE will make bank on Mommy in the Bank replicas on WWE Shop. I mean, look, I mentioned the Money in the Bank replicas for Tiffany Stratton last year. I said she's going to get a custom one. They're going to bedazzle it, right? It took a few weeks, but they actually did end up doing that and probably sold a whole bunch of them. I just hate the idea that we're just going to base Money in the Bank winners every year now on, you know, like what kind of briefcase can we sell on WWE Shop? I would hope that's not like the main reason why they would have Rhea win the briefcase, because that's pretty fucking dumb. She doesn't need it. Rhea doesn't need it. Holiday 197 says, the lack of major stars on SmackDown is affecting the show. Owens and McIntyre are unfortunately injured, and Orton has been MIA. Yeah, I forgot to mention Orton earlier, too. We barely get to see Randy Orton. LA Knight needs to win Money in the Bank. If Cody wins the title back, LA should cash in, setting up a feud. Cody is going to win the title back, but not for at least a few months. So, I mean, what does LA Knight do in the meantime? He's kind of fucked. That's why I think he needs to leave and go to Raw. Bobby's World, since you're not going to be here for my birthday tomorrow. No, his 46th birthday. I have to do my yearly birthday donation tonight. My girlfriend says I'm not doing it right, but I don't see it. Happy birthday, Bob. I know he's not with us right now live, but he'll listen to this later. Happy birthday, Bobby. I hope it's a good one. Joseph Heath with a 5. No message. Thank you, Joseph. Very kind of you. Sidro is with us. Our friend Sidro. I strictly forbid my kids from watching orchestras. There's too much sax and violins. Oh my god. Too much sax and violin, get it? And what do you get when you cross a policeman and a skunk? Law and odor. Oh my god. Law and odor. They get worse. Nick Grasso with the 20. Save me. I'm done with heel Cena. I think it has been going because it's too late and no one wants to boo him. Cena hasn't been fully committed to this gimmick and Triple H turned him just to troll The Rock. Rock should be around too. That would be funny if Triple H was like, you know what? I'm going to troll Rock and pitch this idea thinking Cena won't go for it. And Cena's like, yeah, cool, let's do it. And he never really wanted him to go heel in the first place. We got Jonathan Black. What is the difference between Prime Energy and a Nintendo Switch cartridge? One tastes good, and the other is Prime Energy. Number one, Homo Sapien. What is the difference between a guitar and a fish? You can tune a guitar, but you can't tune a fish. Tune a fish. Of course. Sidro. Lawyer says, my client is trapped inside a penny. Judge. What? Lawyer says, he is in a cent. And what's a guitar player's favorite Italian food? Stromboli. I like the innocent one just a little bit better. We got a low bar here, but a little bit better. Thank you, Sidro. Okay, now we're caught up to the ones on screen. MGM Ballin, wish I can make it to HOG tomorrow. Looking forward to the next New York City show. Well, we will be back. Not announcing the date just yet, but we will be back. I know when the date's going to be. It's going to be a big day. Mr. Rod, happy Friday to everyone. I unfortunately had a power outage during the show, but thank God for Solomonster. You the man. Well, better to have a power outage during SmackDown and not during this review. Mr. Rod, after tonight, what is your excitement level for Money in the Bank tomorrow? On a scale of 1 to 10, my excitement level for Money in the Bank is a 6. Oz Inglorious. Speaking of cheap plugs, can I email you for a new album shout out on 916? We'll just send the email. Send the email and I will take a look at it. And thank you for the congrats on 87K. I know you are one of the 87K. I appreciate that. Who's leading, by the way, on the leaderboard tonight in the chat? We have the leader, the community tab on top. You know, Maze the Great has been killing it. I don't think he's actually in the lead tonight, though. Arabian Night 2000. Slammiversary only 5 weeks out. They've only sold 3,000 tickets. Do you think they'll have to downgrade? What could boost tickets? Cena versus Hendry or AJ Styles' return? Well, they haven't announced the main event yet, which I assume is going to be Mike Santana and Trick Williams. They're going to need more than that, though. Obviously, if John Cena was going to be on the show, of course, they're going to sell a lot more tickets. I don't know if we're going to get Cena and Hendry. I know Hendry's been pitching for it for months. You know, Cena told him at the Royal Rumble when they saw each other, like, it's up to you, dude. If you can find a way to make it happen, then it'll happen. It's not like Cena's lobbying for it. Cena doesn't lobby for anything. He just shows up and does what they tell him to do. But I don't know what Joe Hendry could possibly do to convince them. I mean, ultimately, it's WWE's call if they want to allow Cena to work the show. But AJ Styles making a one-night return to TNA? That would do it. That would do it. One of the biggest names in the history of that company. Yeah, I didn't know how many tickets they had sold yet. So 3,000 in a building like UBS is not great. But there's still time, right? There's still 6 or 7 weeks to go. I assume most of the matches haven't been announced yet. So when they start really announcing matches, we'll see if there's any movement. But they're going to need that one big attraction. And I would have assumed that running in a building like UBS, they would have had something big in mind. I feel like they have to. They have to have something big in mind. So we'll see what that is. William Valencia. They are saving that Americano versus Rollins face-off for the PLE. They're going to turn El Grande Americano babyface. Guarantee you, in the ladder match tomorrow, he is greeted as a babyface by the crowd. Prince Vegeta, you think if AJ Styles continues to lose the way he does in big matches, that will damage his legacy? Triple H clearly doesn't value him. No, I think Triple H sees him as a 48-year-old guy that they're not going to build around. And so they're going to use him in situations where he could be useful, you know, to go out there and help make other people look good and get other people over. And he'll win every now and then, but I don't see him being pushed in the way that he used to be pushed until he comes to them and says, I'm ready to retire. And then I do think when he is ready to sort of call it a day, he'll probably get that one last big angle. But yeah, it just doesn't feel like they are going to bother coming up with anything for him that people would be, you know, happy with or would look at as like a meaningful feud or a championship program. I don't see him doing that. Is it going to damage his legacy? I don't think so. I think his legacy is well established. You know, he was a very, very important, very big part of not just the early TNA days, but especially the early TNA days. And as the company grew and the X Division and they got on Spike TV, like, he was a very big part of that. And then he had that very brief run in Japan where he was very successful and he was part of Bullet Club, and that's part of his legacy. And then when he came into WWE, he became champion. And he worked a very memorable program with John Cena. And every single one of the matches they had, the Money in the Bank match and the SummerSlam match and the match at the Rumble, you know, where Cena won number 16, those are classic matches. You know, what he's doing in his final years as his career winds down, I don't see that ruining his legacy. Super Hot Vector Man. SmackDown was good, and are you getting the Mortal Kombat collection? I am not. Sidro. Having difficulty remembering French word for white. Mine keeps going blanc. I've never understood why people hate vegans so much. Never had any beef with them. Power Spying Games, buy or sell Simon Dean or Luther Reigns? Where's the option for neither? I didn't care for either one of them. I'll sell on both. Ragnarok. Happy Friday, Solo. I don't get your critique of the tag division. Top tier teams and a lot of combinations putting on bangers, unlike the dead division on Raw. Am I living in the Upside Down? Did I criticize the SmackDown Tag Team Division? I've been on here for weeks talking about how lopsided it is when you compare SmackDown to Raw. I'm not sure if you're joking. I have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, are we listening to the same thing? The Mount Vernon Kid, Christopher Bennett. I'm not sure about you, but after Aleister stepping up to Rollins, I want him involved. It's too bad it won't happen, but a Black versus Rollins match, sign me up. Congrats on 87K. Thank you, brother. Well, it's not going to happen because they're on two separate brands. But I mean, that would be a cool, you know, match feud. Like you said, though, not going to happen because they're just not on the same show. Edwin Garcia, who do you prefer, Batista or Randy Orton? It's tough. I like Batista, especially Hollywood Batista. Hollywood Batista, though, was only a few months. So on the whole, I would go Randy Orton. He had such a longer run too. So I feel like it's almost unfair, but I didn't hate Batista. You know, there were definite phases of Batista, like when he was in Evolution but breaking away and the fans were organically getting behind him. That was fun. You know, the thumbs up, thumbs down, heading into WrestleMania. And then when he went heel years later, those were probably my favorite periods of Batista. The stuff in the middle was okay, but, I mean, nothing really stands out to me about it. Bradley Slimp. Congrats on 87K. Much deserved road to 100K. Slow and steady wins the race, brother. It'll be a while, but, you know, you take it 1,000 at a time. So now we aim for 88. Havili is with us. Buy or sell a favorite mini pay-per-view back in the day, WCW Clash of the Champions or WWE In Your House? I was an In Your House guy. I saw all the In Your Houses. I have at some point seen most of the Clash of the Champions shows. And I mean, the Clash of the Champions stuff was a bigger deal, but I wasn't following it that closely at the time. He also says, Evolution happens again. Will we finally get Alexa versus Trish since we didn't get that at the first Evolution? I don't think so. I think whatever they do with Alexa Bliss on that show is going to be different. Cripple Punk 91. Yesterday I was washing the car with my son. He said, Dad, can't you just use a sponge? Well, the sun is bigger, though. He'll cover more ground. So I don't blame you, Cripple Punk. You'll get the job done a lot quicker that way. Also, I'm hearing music from my printer. When will it stop jamming? So that one I like. I like that one. Thank you, Cripple Punk. Jeremy Rose, Survivor Series is the 2-year anniversary of Punk's return. Do you see him winning a world title by then? No. Broly. 4-hour Dynamite with 13 minutes of women's wrestling and people wonder why Mariah left. Athena's contract is supposedly up this year. I wonder if she leaves. I guess it just boils down to what her priority is. If she's content to just, you know, stick to the schedule that she's working and she's making good money, then she may stay. But I mean, if she wants to work and she wants to be challenged, I don't see why she wouldn't just try her hand somewhere else, whether that's WWE or just anywhere. It's still a mystery to me why so many of the Ring of Honor title holders have some consistent level of visibility on AEW programming, and she's the only one who doesn't. It's you know, you would look at it if you weren't a cynical person and you wanted to believe that there was a real method to the madness here. You would look at it and think, well, maybe Tony Khan wants to keep her as like that one real special attraction in Ring of Honor with the idea that he'll get a TV deal for ROA. But like, dude, like it's 2025. He's owned Ring of Honor now for what, 3 years? We've been hearing this stuff about him trying to get a TV deal or a streaming deal for years. Even Jericho has talked about it. That's probably why they put the belt back on Jericho before they took it off of him. If it hasn't happened by now, like, this woman is wasting away. There's so many great potential matches and opponents for her. I understand she's the forever champion of Ring of Honor. All the Ring of Honor fans get very upset when you make comments like that. But it's true. Like, there are so many other people that she could and should be working with right now. And she should have the same visibility as a Mercedes Moné and the same visibility as a Toni Storm. And she doesn't. But yet, Bandido will be on TV and Dustin and Sammy will be on TV. All these other champions will be on TV, but not Athena. We'll call her up to get beat by Mercedes and then we'll send her back down. Yeah, I don't understand it. You know, if I were her, I would leave. But I don't know what her main priorities are. Maybe she's happy. Maybe she's happy doing what she's doing. I don't know. Devin from New Jersey. Pretty soon, USA will start airing Law and Order SUV. That's right. That's what Christopher said from The Sopranos. Law and Order, the SUV. The Juliet says, be interesting what ends up in the main event. Men's Money in the Bank or the tag team match? Also, get those likes up, people, contributing to the Super Chat goal. Well, I mean, I guess it depends on whether or not they have the Money in the Bank winner cash in. We have both world champions in that tag team match. You know, so a lot of people have been talking about this world title match coming up on Raw Monday night with Gunther and Jey Uso. And how the hell are they going to do this finish, right? Unless Jay's going to drop the belt. But I don't want to see Gunther lose clean for a second time to this guy. So, like, who interferes and why? And maybe they do a cash. Maybe we're looking at this all wrong. Maybe the reason it's so hard to come up with what this fucking finish is going to be on Monday is because the match actually isn't going to happen. And they're going to have somebody cash in on Jey Uso at the end of the night tomorrow, right? I mean, you can't discount the possibility. Although that would suck, you know, to advertise a world title match for Raw for however many weeks it's been and then not deliver one. But who knows? I mean, you got both world champions in that tag match. If they close the show with that match, I mean, we may well get at least a tease of a cash-in. Broly, would Mariah Day be a good name change? Nah, I'm not really a fan of that. I like the double M. I would keep the same initials. I don't know. I really don't think Mariah March is a bad name. I have one person, oh, that's a terrible name. I don't think it is. I think Mariah March. I mean, forget, like, aha, you pick a different month. I don't think that's a bad name. There may be a better one. Some people have said Mariah Monroe. Something with an M. Ricky Saints, right? He kept the same initials. I think she should keep the same initials. I wouldn't change it to Mariah Day. Jeremy Rose, are you ready for all those camera shots of little kids crying when Jay loses his title? It's going to be Ms. Girl vibes. Cripple Punk 91. A dung beetle walked into a bar. He turned to someone and asked, is this stool taken? Thank you, Cripple Punk. Dung beetle, you say? I haven't heard dung beetle mentioned in years. Chris Hogan. Could a Jordynne Grace debut feature her teaming with Naomi based on their history in TNA? Naomi could use a heater if she is going for gold. I'm not against the idea of Naomi having a heater, but the idea of pairing them up because of their history in TNA, most of the WWE audience has no idea about their history in TNA. You could try to educate them. I don't think that aspect of it people are going to give a shit about, honestly, most people. But I'm not opposed to the idea of putting somebody with her as like the muscle of the two of them to kind of help watch her back and step in when she needs some assistance. That could be one way to introduce Jordynne Grace to the roster. I don't hate the idea. You know, but do they want Jordynne Grace to be a heel? Duff's Vids, what's a balloon's least favorite part of school? Pop quizzes. And what do you get when you cross Snoop Dogg with a hippo? A smoke-a-lot-of-potamus. Smokes-a-lot-of-potamus. Snoop Dogg and a hippo. Where'd you get that one from? Holy random joke. Smokes a lot of potamus. Yep, the tomatoes are out. Zachary busted out the tomatoes. Tonga Loa superfan. The age of Tonga Loa is almost upon us. Are you ready for the ride that Tonga Loa is about to take us on when he returns? I heard that ride was out of service. That was the last update I heard. They took it out of service. Somebody died on the ride. So maybe not. Zachary says Duff's is on that smoke. I don't know, he might be. He's having a good time. Arabian Knight, think Cody wins King of the Ring, and sadly, Rollins wins Money in the Bank. Cashes in on Raw. SummerSlam, it's Punk versus Seth and Cody versus Cena. Both Punk against Seth again? Both Punk and Cena win, and then in Perth, champion against champion. Well, that's interesting. If they do the champion against champion thing like they did last year with Cody and Gunther. I don't know, man. Punk and Seth again. How many fucking times did this? I mean, I've been doing this since January 6th. Holiday 197. I feel for Zelina Vega. She seems like a hard worker and has improved in her matches, but as hard as she tries to connect with the fans, the crowds do not seem invested. She has the underdog story. Yes. But again, the crowds are just not responding to her in the way that I think they want them to be responding to her. Now, in her match tonight, they did progressively get more and more behind her as the match went on. But yeah, as far as Zelina goes, it's just when they hit it, part of it is her music just sucks. But when they hit her music and nobody reacts, you know, that hasn't changed. And tonight was good, at least in that. It felt like the crowd was getting a little more behind her as the match went on, but on most weeks, it's like it's just a struggle. You know, they don't seem to care. But like you said, she has the underdog story, which is exactly why I feel like she needs to not have that United States Championship. You know, when you're the underdog, you're fighting to get in that position. It's the struggle. She's already got the championship. You can't be the champion and be the underdog. Duff's Vids, what's the best part of being a doctor that does circumcisions? They get to keep the tip. That is disgusting. That's absolutely gross. What do? They keep it like in a jar? Power Spying Games, buy or sell 05 Cena or 05 Batista? 05 Batista. Retro KOH, going back to one of my old supers, if Tonga Loa actually had an ingrown toenail, they should change his name to Longa Toa when he returns. Oh my god, that's awful. That's just terrible. That might be the worst one all night. What happened to Tala Tonga, by the way? We don't hear about Hikuleo anymore. I think he just disappeared into the void. He might be lost in the Performance Center. I don't know. He hasn't found his way back yet. I seriously, I've heard nothing about Hikuleo. I mean, I have no idea what they're waiting for with him. Abyssal Zones, pulling for LA Knight at Money in the Bank. His recent promos have been about wanting more and how he should be world champion by now. Hopefully that is deliberate. I would hope so, and the fact that he clearly drew attention to the fact that this is going to be my third straight Money in the Bank, third time's the charm. Well, for his sake, it better be. What is going on in this super chat here? Havili says, if Moxley returns to WWE, would he go back to Ambrose or keep the Moxley name? He would be Dean Ambrose. I make a mistake. It was Money in the Bank 2022 or 2023. The Usos against the Profits. Thanks, Solomonster, for everything you do. Havili, thank you. I think Havili is down in Brisbane, right? If I'm not mistaken. I'll have to make it there one day. I just wish it wasn't so damn far away. Dark Effect with the 20. Oh, look at that. We're 7 out of 10 on the goal. Uh-oh, the 5-minute countdown just began. The 5-minute countdown on that bonus Be the Booker goal just kicked in. Are we going to make it? Do we have a Tyrese Halliburton here in the chat making that final game-winning shot? I guess we'll find out. Dark Effect says, since we're closing in on Cena's final dates, who do you think is Cena's biggest foe or rival? JBL, Orton, Edge, or Punk? I will admit I've never been a Cena fan, but for my money, it's Punk. Their chemistry in the ring was great. It's CM Punk. I go CM Punk and then Edge, and then you could have Randy Orton. But you are correct. Tongaloa Superfan, dropping a 20, says, the gap between Bret Hart and Tongaloa... Oh, you better be careful here. The gap between Bret Hart and Tongaloa is smaller than you think. Unfortunately, Bret's career got cut short, while Loa will continue to wrestle and sports entertain us for years to come. So the gap will inevitably get wider. I think Tongaloa Superfan is a little lost in the sauce tonight. That's what I'm thinking. Havili, besides Canadian Stampede, favorite in your house? Oh, you took my answer away from me. That's not fair. Well, technically, In Your House went through the beginning of 99, actually. Even though they really weren't using the name much anymore. But if you look at some of the posters, I think right up until maybe St. Valentine's Day Massacre, they were still using the In Your House name. I have favorite In Your House matches. I don't know if there's another In Your House show that I look at as my favorite. I always think of the Canadian Stampede as like the best In Your House show. I don't know. Maybe Bad Blood, just for that Hell in a Cell match between Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. It might be Bad Blood. Navy 4181, nice Bizarro shirt. Buy or sell Legion of Doom from WrestleFest or Megabucks from WWF Superstars? Ah, LOD from WrestleFest. I saw they're making a WrestleFest arcade. Like, they're replicating the actual WrestleFest arcade. There's some new company that's producing it later this year. I don't know what the pricing is going to be on that, but that's pretty exciting. We got the 90-second warning on that bonus goal. Looks like we're going to fall short on that, but we are. I think we already hit the regular goal. So we'll get at least the one Be the Booker tonight. Jeremy Rose, can you see Cena really never losing the title? And then they vacate the title. And then at Royal Rumble, Sammy wins. No. That would be awful. The WrestleFest arcade is, it's like a one-up cabinet, but it's not one-up. This one is, I think the way they described it is, like the one-up ones and some of the other arcades, it's almost like a replica of what the arcades were. This is meant to be like the arcade. Forgot the name of the company. It's Toy something. I forgot what they're called. We got Jonathan Peters, 6 months of channel membership. I messed up my super chat on TNT. I meant to say that they lost me with the prices of Money in the Bank. I paid less for WrestleMania and Royal Rumble than the cheapest nosebleed for Money in the Bank. Well, that is ridiculous if that's the case. Yeah, I mean, it's out of control. It's crazy. And for four matches, dude. Four matches. Just insane. I'm not saying it needs eight matches, but just, I don't know, four just sounds awfully low for the ticket prices that they're charging. Super hot Vector Man, which is worse, Moxley now, Big Dog, or 2020 Rollins? Big Dog. Tongaloa superfan, how many more years do you think Tongaloa has got in the tank being a wrestler? My lowball estimate is at least a decade. A decade more of Tongaloa. doesn't that put a smile on your... Well, it does now, yeah. Doesn't that put a smile on your face? It does. It's just, I don't know if it's the smile that you think it is, but... I just busted out laughing, so yeah, you did. You put a smile on my face. NJC, if a man crashes his car into a woman, whose fault is it? The real question is, what was the man doing driving in the kitchen? LA Knight for Money in the Bank. Cheers. So we've gone back to the 1950s here with this joke. But he says, LA Knight for Money in the Bank. Cheers. I can get behind that. Havili, with one more $32 super chat. Which of these matches most likely happens for Charlotte at Evolution? Jade Cargill, Stephanie Vicaire, or a tag team match with Alexis against Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez? I think Jade. It's going to be Charlotte and Jade Cargill. Says, who should have won the TNA World Championship? Shout out from Brisbane, Australia. So you're not giving me any options? You're just asking the question, who should have won the TNA World Championship? Was there any major star there who did not win the TNA World Championship? Kurt Angle won it. Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Bobby Roode, James Storm. Abyss won? Didn't Abyss win? Was Abyss ever the TNA World Heavyweight Champion? If Abyss was not the TNA World Heavyweight Champion, then he absolutely should have been. I don't remember now if he was ever the TNA World Champion. Oh, Monty Brown, yes. Well, I mean, yeah, he had his personal reasons for getting out of wrestling. But absolutely, if Monty Brown didn't leave, he should have been the one to beat Jeff Jarrett to win that title. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh my God, look who just signed up as a Sound Off legend. It is the legend himself, everybody. Bulu Fatulu. Oh my God, as I live and breathe. Bulu, you're alive. It's good to hear from you, my friend. Somebody was asking about you recently. We haven't heard from Bulu in ages. Bulu Fatulu. Duff's Vids, did you hear about the two spiders that got engaged? They met on the web.
Oh, you suck.
I hate that I almost laughed at that one, but I restrained myself. Jeremy Rose, Money in the Bank Cena Punk 11, 2011, must be the next match in the Hall of Fame. My opinion, best combo of crowd energy, storyline, and entertainment. It'll be in there. It'll be in there. I don't know if it'll be the next one. They may bounce around and want to do a more recent one. I mean, Hogan Andre will be in there. Savage Steamboat. You know, there are certain matches you know will eventually... I almost feel like they're going to have to start inducting two matches per year just because there's so many to choose from. That match belongs in there, though, absolutely. There he is. There's Bulu in the chat. Look at this. He's getting chance. He's getting chance. This is bigger than the Roman Reigns return we're going to get tomorrow. This right here is the biggest return of the weekend. You're getting it in the chat right now. Bulu Fatulu. Well, again, we hit the main goal, the likes goal, not the second one, but we did get the first one. So we're going to be the booker here in a second. But Havili has one more message here. That is... would been the 10-man tag match for Forbidden Door PLE. Sorry, I met Monty Brown, Booker T, Matt Morgan, Kaz, Daniels, Harry. Okay, yeah, well, Monty Brown then. We don't need Booker T as a TNA World Champion. Or Matt Morgan. Monty Brown. He was the one. All right, be the Booker time. Let's get to it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
Let's get to it. It is time to be the Booker. This is how we close out what will be the final stream until Monday, the Raw post show. Again, I will not be here tomorrow. Tell all your friends. Oh boy. We have the Beverly Brothers, Bo and Blake, with the most brutal tag team finish you will ever see, the Shaker Heights Spike. If you don't believe me, just YouTube it. You'll see why. For their finish alone, I might have to give this the bell, but it depends on their opponents. The Hardy Boys, Matt and Jeff against the Beverly Brothers. I think Jeff Hardy, oh my God, can you imagine a Jeff Hardy sell of the Shaker Heights Spike? He may not get up. He may not get up from that. He may not survive. Jeff Hardy selling the Shaker Heights Spike. All right, women's be the Booker. You can look, but you can't touch. It is Nikki Bella, everybody. Where are all the Bella Army members? At attention. They're all very excited to see Nikki Bella bouncing in to be the Booker here, but who will she be wrestling? That is the question. The longest reigning Divas champion of all time. Nikki Bella against Mako Satomura. Mako Satomura going to be bringing Nikki Bella to the best match of her life. I mean, Mako's retired now. She had a retirement match a couple of months ago. But Mako is going to go in there and bring Nikki Bella up to a level that she has never been at before. That much I can tell you. We got ourselves a main event, folks. Let's book it. There's so many names in here. There's so many possibilities. We're going to start with this man. We just landed on him a few days ago. The former IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, Sanada, is in the main event. Sanada ain't in no main events anymore, but he used to be for a little bit of time. He's not in the main event now. Kurt Angle against Sanada. We did it. We got the clean sweep. We always want that sonic sweep. When you hear that sonic sweep, that's how you know it is the sign of a good night. The sign of a bad night, of course, would be that's a bad night. That means you've done something wrong. And Stabler and Benson, they want to pull you over to have a conversation with you. That's going to be a bad night for you. But we did it. We got our clean sweep and be the booker. That's what it's all about. That's how I like to end the week. Can't buzz Angle. No, you can't. No, you cannot. There he is. There's the man, Bulu Fatulu. Solomonster, God bless you, and the chat. The chat nuts. I like that. I'm going to start calling them that. All my chat nuts. Thank you, Bulu. I'm glad to have you back with us. You've been missed. Blue Neon. See, I got it right this time. Solo, it sounds dumb, but could one day WWE run an event with no matches at all? I think that's what they're preparing for. These shows seem to be getting smaller and smaller. Now it's four matches tomorrow, then it'll be three. One day it'll be a single microphone just sitting in the middle of the ring. They'll just trot people out to cut promos all night. They won't even have to put the ring up. They just have like a little stage like they have for the Hall of Fame. We've got Retro KOH. Buy or sell on better woo-off, Angle and Flair or Lethal and Flair? I got to pick Jay Lethal. Oh, yeah, Jay Lethal and Flair. I mean, the Angle and Flair woo-off, Angle can't do the woo. His voice is wrecked from all the neck surgeries and stuff. So like he's very raspy, but it can't hold a candle to Jay Lethal and Ric Flair. That segment is an all-timer. Jeremy says, any chance they find someone that has a similar build to Gable and Americano gets revealed as not being Gable? They could try it, but I don't know. It's going to be hard to come up with somebody that looks exactly like Chad Gable in his build, his physique. I mean, I don't think he has any tattoos or anything. And so, I mean, maybe they could. Like a Kurt Angle, Eric Angle type situation. Nick Grasso. So far, WWE hasn't offered Karrion Kross a new contract. Are they really going to let him walk? Also, rest in peace, Claire Lynch. Yeah, I mean, supposedly his contract is up in a matter of months. And they, I believe the rumor is that they haven't approached him yet about a new deal. You hear about all these stories, more releases possibly coming. You see they let, you know, R-Truth walk when his deal is up and Carlito. And I don't know, just given the way that they're using him or not using him right now on TV, I just don't think it bodes well for him. I just think if they saw him as a priority and someone worth investing in, they'd be doing more with him, and they're just not doing it right now. You know, so I don't think that bodes well for his future. If his deal's up very soon, I could see them letting his deal run out. And I don't think he'll be hurting for work. I think there are other people that will want to, you know, give him the opportunity to do what he does. But I just don't understand. This guy builds up a little bit of momentum for the first time, really, in this entire main roster run, and you just squander it. I just don't understand it. I don't get it. Duff's Vids. I met a priest that believes that Jesus gave his disciples noodles at his Last Supper. He's a ramen Catholic. A ramen Catholic. Yeah, I may have to convert for that. Thank you, Duff's. And EJ Slemp, Bulu is back. I've fallen in love with an amazing girl. Jerry Reinsdorf is selling the what? Okay, as I'm reading that, I thought you said you fell in love with an amazing girl named Jerry Reinsdorf. And I'm like, wait, what? Now, Jerry Reinsdorf is selling the White Sox. Who beat the Mets last week? Oh, the White Sox who beat the Mets last week. And Bulu is back. I am happy. Oh, we got Arabian Night 2000. Maybe Jacob and Cobb swerve Solo and they kick him out, thus bringing in Hikuleo. Then we get Solo and the Usos against Jacob's new crew at SummerSlam. A little bit of a swerve there, huh? But then wouldn't that turn Solo babyface? I don't know, man. I mean, the people like Jacob so much. I feel like it's just you're fighting against the tide here. If you, you know, try to put him in a situation that he should be the heel, that feels like he would be the heel in that situation. That's the only thing I don't really like about that. The swerve idea, though, is interesting. Luis, look at that blue skull. Money in the Bank and Worlds Collide. Ticket holders. Metro bus and rail service is free, so you don't have to waste money on parking. With everybody saying, L.A. Night, yeah. That's right, Luis is, this is out in your neck of the woods. See, Luis is offering a public service here to all of you who are attending the shows tomorrow. Luis, are you going to the shows? Are you going to any of the shows? Or are you watching them from home? Yeah, I mean, no one wants to see Jacob Fatu as a heel right now. I just think that's not going to work. Boots, also Blue Skull. Blue Skulls are, I mean, these are serious folks here. Blue Skulls are 48 months and up as channel members. Did you enjoy the WWF Junior/Mini Division? At times. You know, I mean, sometimes they didn't really treat it with much. I mean, they never treated it with any seriousness, but they just, it would kind of come and go. You know, when they revived it on SmackDown in the mid-2000s, I didn't care for it. But there was a period of time in 97 when they had Max Mini. They had Max Mini, and they had Mini Vader, Mini Mankind, Mini Goldust. That I enjoyed. CJ will be at Saturday Night's Main Event and Evolution next month. That's right. They're going to be in Atlanta. That's out your way. Yeah, I mean, the 2006 SmackDown stuff, yeah, it was forgettable. Isn't that when they had Super Porky, right? How long did that even last? It was like weeks and then it was over. I mean, they barely put any effort into it. I'm not even sure why they bothered. Mini Booker T. Max Mini was in the 06 Juniors division as Mascarita Sagrada. Was he? Well, I preferred him when he was Max Mini. EJ Slemp. Yes, I've definitely not fallen in love with a Jerry Reinsdorf. He makes the Wilpons look like Steve Cohen. Jerry Reinsdorf sucks. Don't the White Sox play at Guaranteed Rate Field? The worst stadium name in all of sports. Uncle Dave says, who's your King and Queen of the Ring winners? I already talked about it earlier. I'm going to make you listen. I'm going to make you go back and listen. I gave my early predictions earlier in the stream. Mini J and Co. Oh my God. Can you imagine a Mini J Uso coming out and yeeting as he comes down the steps through the crowd? Mini Jey Uso throwing up the arms and yeeting as he comes down the stairs. There's a segment in 2004 where The Undertaker attacks a mini Undertaker hired by JBL. I do remember that. I remember the mini Undertaker. He did the pose, right? And that Undertaker sits up and goozles him. Am I remembering this correctly? I do remember that. Mini Roxanne Perez. Isn't that kind of redundant? All right, anyway, so we have two shows tomorrow. We have Worlds Collide at 3 o'clock, and then we have Money in the Bank at 7 o'clock. I will be at HOG. So I will review definitely Money in the Bank. I hope I have time to watch Worlds Collide, because I'm first going to be watching Money in the Bank when I get home tomorrow night, which probably won't be until 10 or 11 o'clock. So there'll be a Money in the Bank review as part of Sound Off 916 coming up on Sunday. And there's a lot of other stuff in the Sound Off as well. Full review on the season finale of Dark Side of the Ring, talking Muhammad Hassan. I'm going to have thoughts on what else? What am I going to talk about? I'm going to talk about Goldberg. I'm going to talk about the Claire Lynch news. We'll get into some detail about that because I was covering that whole storyline at the time that it played out on TNA television, unfortunately. So we'll talk about her and some other stuff as well. So that'll be this Sunday, dropping probably sometime later in the afternoon. There's no set time when the podcast drops, but it'll be on Sunday. So keep your eyes peeled. EJ Slemp, El Torito. El Torito is the goat of many goats. Still one of the greatest moments in Raw history. Bo Dallas doing his run around the ring and mowing down poor El Torito. It's just, or hip checking him, whatever it was. Oh my God. That was so great. That was so great. Duff's Vids. Yesterday I went to the zoo and saw a baguette in a cage. The zookeeper told me it was bred in captivity. Get it? Baguette? Bred in captivity? Like our friend Bread Hart, who we sometimes see in the chat. I like that one. Baguette in a cage. Where do you come up with these things? I don't know. I don't know. Look at it. You're coming up with all these minis in the chat. Mini Balor. Mini Dominic Mysterio. Oh my God, the Haiti Kid. Lord Littlebrook. Who was the one that King Kong Bundy squashed at WrestleMania 3? Was that Lord Littlebrook? You know the story behind that, right? The story behind that. First of all, it's amazing that King Kong Bundy went from main eventing WrestleMania 2 for the world championship against Hulk Hogan to being in a tag team match with some of the minis at WrestleMania 3. But it was Bundy and his mini friends against Hillbilly Jim and his mini friends. And there's a spot in the match, if you've never seen it before, it's a classic moment where, and it's not supposed to be, you know, minis against the bigger wrestlers, obviously, but there's a spot where King Kong Bundy, oh my God, mini JD and mini Solomonster, he drops an elbow. Was it Lord, who was it? Was it Lord Littlebrook? Oh, Little Beaver. Okay. That's right. That's right. It takes me back to my college days. Some nights with some Little Beaver. But look, so Little Beaver is on the mat, right? And King Kong Bundy, King Kong Bundy's like 400 pounds, right? And King Kong Bundy drops an elbow on Little Beaver. And everybody is appalled by this. But this is after he body slams him, right? So the body slam came first. The elbow, as I understand it, and actually I think you could kind of see if you go back and watch it, I don't think he was supposed to drop the elbow on Little Beaver. I think the idea was that his other mini friends would come in off the apron and stop him. They would get in the way and stop him from dropping the elbow on him. There was some confusion, though. On the spot, they came too late. If you go back and look at it, they all look confused as they're like on the apron. And Bundy, I think, had already started the process of kind of bouncing slowly off the ropes. And it's like, well, he's going to look stupid now if he just stops and doesn't do it. And they didn't get there in time. And so he dropped the elbow. But I don't think he was supposed to drop the elbow. And he really did injure the guy. And I'm not even sure he ever wrestled again. I don't know if Little Beaver ever wrestled again after that. So anyway, the more you know. Yeah, they came too late. Don't you hate when that happens? They came too late. So anyway, now you know the story behind the story at WrestleMania 3. But he did get hurt. That part of it is not funny. The rest of it is pretty fucking funny. Be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves a great night. Enjoy your weekend. I will see you for the sound off on Sunday. Going to be big show. And thank you again for 87,000 subscribers. On to 88. That's the next big milestone. You guys are going to have to help me get there, though. I'll see you guys real soon. Until then, take care, guys.